Good morning, Wisconsin.
Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And of course, all of you, the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're doing good out there. We appreciate you. Want to say appreciation to all of our engineers and our people working behind the scenes here to get our phones up and working. We appreciate them. Working hard back here, and we appreciate them. Got some entertainment news we'll get into, and a little bit later we're going to talk a little bit about this chaos packaging and what that is. Okay. And what food is delicious in small amounts, but not so much in big amounts. That should be an interesting one. I have
a couple to add to the list.
Okay, I have not even pre-read that one, so I'm not sure what's all on there. But we kick off with some entertainment news, and one of the bigger names in entertainment for the last at least five years or so has been Jelly Roll. It seems like Jelly Roll is always out there doing good things, and that is part of his popularity, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
He just posted a video after stopping by a juvenile detention center in Columbus, Ohio this month. He swung by to let the kids know that they can choose a different path, just like he did. He talked about how he spent 10 years locked up from the ages of 14 to 26.
Oh, wow.
He also took time out to beat them at cards. He joked that instead of preaching, he wanted to show them how bad they are at spades and this isn't the life for them. But he did do a little preaching, too. He did do a little of that. Yeah. I mentioned this before. I had no idea who he was 4 or 5 years ago. I'm not sure when it was or anything. But my dad was watching him on a morning talk show and was raving about him and how much he enjoyed this guy. And he's like, Jimmy, who is this guy and stuff? And I pull up some music for him so we could hear it and everything. He's been a big fan of him ever since. So my dad was way ahead of this one as far as like a pop culture or me or anybody else. As far as people I know
in
and
your
everything.
Circle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to go, Dad.
And I not only do I think, and certainly he's very talented, he's a good writer, he's a good singer, all the above, but I think that this stuff only propels him more into the spotlight, into more of the pop culture. And it would not do that if he was doing it for selfish reasons.
Right.
But it's
just for the PR.
Yeah.
That's not why he's doing it.
It's so genuine and so real that you can't help but appreciate it and respect what he's doing there. And there is something to be said. I brought up my dad for a reason because my dad, it took him a long time to do this, but my mother and I encouraged him to do some of this himself with the life that he lived. My father has a rap sheet that is about 15 pages long. He knows what he's talking about when he's talking to these kids, when he's talking to people. And if anybody can remember way back in the day when you were young, it means something that when people are talking to you that have been through it, that know what they're talking about.
Sharing that lived experience and how they changed their life.
It doesn't mean that you have to have that experience in order to get through to somebody, but it just means something more to certain people. Individuals without the people that have been through it doing things like this, like Jelly Roll is doing, or like my dad, or so many other people out there do, you don't get this, and you don't get that without giving people another opportunity and giving people second chances. That it's a very vital and important part of our society.
Yeah,
and it's pretty cool to see too. Shout out to Jelly Roll, by the way, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It got Ozzy Osbourne all emotional. Like, imagine putting that on your resume, best-selling artist, 13 number one hits, and I made Ozzy cry. That's pretty good.
Not many people can put that on their resume.
Yeah. Selena Gomez is not a new actress by any means, but I've only known about her for a couple of years, so she's a little bit newer to me, and I can't get enough of her. I think she's just awesome. As far as her entertainment, I don't necessarily follow her really on social media too much or anything like that, but she seems like a really cool person, and I appreciate so much of her interviewing. For a younger person, and some of the younger actors out there just seem to be this way, where they are just themselves. Daniel Radcliffe is really like this. I mean, when you see him in interviews, they don't seem to be putting on airs. They seem to be very comfortable in front of the camera. A lot of younger actors just seem to have this. Selena Gomez is one of them. And Selena Gomez was talking about this recently, where she no longer sleeps in her own bedroom because she associates it with a really dark time when her anxiety was really bad. Quote, being anxious is so debilitating sometimes. And yeah, I didn't want to leave my bed for years. And part of it was I wasn't doing the work. And you have to believe in yourself to do that work, and it will truly enlighten you a little bit. Every little bit. If you struggle with anxiety, she has some advice. Quote, I think having a positive conversation with yourself, even if that sounds weird, is really impactful. Like before I step out of the car and there's going to be a lot of noises, I have to breathe and say, all of this is a gift, and I may not be in a good mood for this, but every time I see someone and end up making them smile, always makes my day, no matter how I'm feeling. So she remembers that. She remembers the payoff before it happens, kind of thing.
Yeah, reminding yourself why you're there and what you're doing.
This is a different feeling for a lot of people that aren't used to having this kind of anxiety, or just anxiety in general, and trying to, you know, kind of navigate this. And how do you handle this? I think you can't get enough data on this one. Right. This is something that a lot of people are struggling with coming out of the pandemic and everything. That was years ago. What are you talking about? That's trauma, man. Trauma doesn't sit back and say, well, I've only got a year to mess with you. And my year is up.
And now it's over. Okay.
Dang it. I had so much more trauming to do. Darn it. But no, trauma, it don't leave you. It stays as long as it wants to stay and as long as it takes for you to work through it.
And anxiety affects everybody a little differently. You know, for some people, it can give you chest pains. For a while, I was dealing with that after the death of my brother, where I was getting like serious chest pain, and it was anxiety, and I didn't know what it was. And it took a while to figure it out and to identify what I was dealing with, anxiety and panic attacks. And everybody has to deal with them and handle them differently too. But being able to talk to somebody about it, really, it does help. Even if it's talking to yourself positively, it does help.
Yeah. Conversations with yourself are important. It's not just Stuart Smiley that it's good for. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. it's a funny bit, it's a great sketch, yeah. And it's true. Doing this, it may seem silly. It's okay. That can be part of it. The silliness of life, it's okay to enjoy the silliness in life sometimes, and how silly life can be, and how silly we can be as human beings. As one of the most serious people in the universe, let me tell you, take life less seriously. Take yourself less seriously. You'll enjoy it more.
And we've talked about this from time to time, James, but it's a conversation I had this weekend as well, of talking to yourself, changing the way you talk to yourself, because we are our own worst critics more often than not, and we're pretty negative to ourselves. But thinking about how that voice to yourself is, and would you talk that way to your best friend or your sibling or your niece or your nephew? You know, think about those thoughts and give yourself some grace.
Yeah. keep in mind, we are all a work in progress. And I appreciate her and artists like Jelly Roll and these art, more and more of these celebrities being human. We need more of that.
Well, and she's been in the limelight since she was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, she started her career in 2002 when she was just 10 years old.
It's navigating this new way of things and doing things and stuff. And another note, Selena was in New York City Tuesday night taking photos with fans and signing autographs. She gave a homeless man some money to get some food. This was part of her. She did a lot of these things because she was very anxious about going out. So she did these things to look that they were things she was looking forward to doing and made her smile and happy. So, you know, keeping that in mind and stuff, too. And leaning on each other, giving each other some grace.
Absolutely.
We before we get to some local entertainment news, this is an interesting article about People's Magazine and People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive. They don't exactly pick their winners off the streets, but they also have to be pretty successful. You know, that's part of what this is and everything. So they didn't start off that way, though. They have an article here about some of the surprising early jobs of former Sexiest Men Alive. And it's kind of an interesting list. Like Patrick Dempsey, of course, McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy, I think they call him or whatever.
Dr. McDreamy.
He was a juggler, a unicyclist, a puppeteer, and a clown.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty interesting. I didn't know
interesting,
that.
Interesting background. I mean, film or entertainment oriented. Yeah.
I love the idea of Patrick Dempsey at a kid's birthday party as a clown.
Juggling.
I like that. Chris Evans, Captain America, so many other great roles. He was a board game model. His face was on the box of the game Mystery Date.
Board game model. I didn't know that was a thing.
I forgot about those games, those teen games that they used, that they came out with for a while there. The great, the legend, the wonderful Paul Rudd, who doesn't age.
Yes.
He was a ham glazer at the Holiday Ham Company.
Nice.
I didn't even know that was a job.
Ham glazer.
Chris Hemsworth cleaned and repaired breast pumps at a pharmacy that rented him out. He worked a factory line.
Wow. Mm.
Matthew McConaughey, all right, worked at a golf course, raking sand traps and hunting armadillos.
That's still a little bit of a glamorous job. Come on.
I mean, you tell me you can't see Matthew McConaughey doing that. Like, well, that's easily one of the most easy ones to see on this list. I don't know. That's something to do. That or him on a beach. I would have pictured one of those.
Mm-hmm.
John Legend was a management consultant. He graduated magna cum laude from the University of Pennsylvania at the age of 20. He's a bit of a prodigy in a number of fields. if you're going to have the last name Legend, you better be able to back it up. He can. He can actually back that one up. If it's a...
Nice.
Hugh Jackman was Coco, the children's party clown.
I like Hugh Jackman a lot.
Yeah, every time, you know, there's just so much about that guy. Everything I was talking about before, about being yourself and all those things. It's interesting. You see this with a lot of younger actors that have kind of, like you said, noted, you know, child actors. It's so different than child actors when we were kids. They just seem to be, you know, doing this much better with children in entertainment nowadays. And also actors that got their break late in life, like Hugh Jackman and stuff.
That actually had life experience before Hollywood.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
I've read about this one a number of times. Denzel Washington was a garbage man for a long time. Also looked at, worked and volunteered at a lot of our Ys.
Nice.
Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce Bronson was a fire eater. Pierce Bronson was a fire eater.
Like... as in swallowing fire?
Yeah. Like okay. You look into that one, everybody. That's a wild story. That's an interesting one.
He's an Irish actor and film producer.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Dante's Peak is probably one of my favorites with him.
Put the town on alert. Put the town on alert when he says that. I'm telling you, the way he says that, it hits you. Like you look around your house. Like, wait a minute. Tom Cruise was a paperboy, a lawnmower, and did a lot of other odd jobs.
Nice.
Sean Connery was a coffin polisher, a milkman, and a lifeguard.
Coffin polisher.
But now Sean Connery, the lifeguard. I mean, that writes itself. There's a million sketches we can do there. There's a million.
Sure.
But the
coffin polisher?
Yeah. I have to be honest. Did not know that was a job. I did not know that was a job. That makes sense once you hear it, but that's very interesting. Johnny Depp was a telemarketer.
Really?
Yeah.
He can call me any day. I never say that about telemarketers. No,
they're doing the telemarketing thing wrong. They need more of that. They need more Johnny Depps out there doing that. Yes. Kind of that's a pretty good one. And Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have noted this many times in interviews. They work construction most of their lives growing up. It's part of why in Good Will Hunting you see the characters doing construction. But it's all just kind of fun. I extend this past actors. I don't know why they focus on actors so much. Well, I know why, but and specifically with this list. But you know what another fun one is to look into, everybody? Looking into musicians or, athletes, it's okay. But a lot of athletes are young when they get into sports and athletics.
Because you have to be.
Yeah. And another fun one, politicians. Look into the jobs your politicians that you're thinking about voting for this year, the jobs that they had, you know, and whether they had a job or I don't know, daddy gave them $1 million.
Right.
And have never had dirt under their nails once in their lives.
They're representing us in government. They should have some understanding of what we, the people, have to deal with on a daily basis.
Want to talk?
They should have to know about it for more than 15 minutes.
Well said. I want to talk some local theater before we get to our time out here. And a big shout out to our friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater. Love our friends over there. They got a couple of big things coming up. Right now going on is their wonderful show, Matilda.
Yeah.
Be sure
to opens this weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's coming up this weekend, October 25th through November 2nd. They've got shows. Most of their shows are at 7 o'clock. They have a 2 o'clock matinee on the 27th. You can check that out. Buy local support. Local support those at CWAC. And keep in mind, this Friday, I believe. Yeah, this Friday, they've got Final Fridays.
That's right.
Hosted by Ryan Kreft this week. It is going to be a fun one.
I would guess it's at the Shack.
Yes, yeah.
Because that's usually where they have them when it gets colder and they can't have them outside. And it's a fun time to go and just enjoy. You can be just an audience member, or you can jump in and join in on the improv.
Check out that. Get your tickets for Matilda and more at CWAC.org, CWAC.org. And our great friends, our second home at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, they've got a bunch of great things coming up. Certainly get your tickets for White Christmas. That premieres December 5th. Yeah, it's coming up, everybody. Get your tickets for that one. It's going to be a really fun show. And, of course, our great friends at Silver Foxes have Let the Spirit Move You.
Yeah, that opens this weekend too, doesn't it?
Yep. Thursday, they got a 2 o'clock matinee to kick things off. Friday, a 6 o'clock show, and then they wrap things up on Saturday with a 2 o'clock matinee.
Nice. I like that they're offering two matinees for this.
Yeah, it's a really smart move, and I think it plays well for the audience, too. Mm-hmm. That is pretty cool. Be sure to check that out, everybody. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good one. Got to be a good one. A lot of great stuff going on for you over at WRCtheater.org. Get your tickets and more at WRCtheater.org.
Yes, indeed.
Take a time out. We'll come back and we're talking chaos packaging.
Okay.
It's coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Got your host, James, here, joined by Melissa Kay and the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Good things coming up for you over the next half an hour. Get into our news break in a little bit. A little later, what food is delicious in small amounts, but not so much in bigger ones?
Not so much.
The Wall Street Journal just did a big article on a trendy marketing ploy called chaos packaging. It's when companies sell products in containers they wouldn't normally go in, like sunblock in a whipping cream can.
What?
Yeah. A brand called Vacation sells a sunblock called Classic Whip that looks just like a ready whip can. It comes out of the nozzle looking like whipped cream, but it's just SPF 30.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Oh, yes. Other examples include a brand called Flow that sells tampons in ice cream tubs, a liquid brand called Engine that sells gin in motor oil cans, and the brand Liquid Death that sells water in tall boy cans that look like beer cans, but it's just water.
Mm-hmm. I've seen those on the shelf.
It's become a trendy thing for startups because it helps their product stand out, but it also is extremely confusing for consumers that have no idea who your company is.
At least all of those that you listed after the first one were edible things in what would normally be a non-edible packaging, except the first one. Accidentally eating sunscreen sounds like a really disgusting and awful thing to do.
There's a difference between people talking about your company and people being afraid of your company. I get the idea, hey, it's hard marketing. We've been doing marketing since the first item we bought or sold. Everything's been done. How do you reinvent the wheel? I get that it is difficult. Melissa and I know what we're talking about. We work in this industry. But at the end of the day, how good are you helping your company if somebody buys something and they're thinking it's this when it's that, especially if it is a product that could hurt them or something.
Right. They're going apparently with the adage of all news is good news.
There was a point in time where that there was some truth to that. I don't think it was ever completely true, but there was a little bit of truth to that. Especially if you're looking for an example, look at the 80s in the rise of, like, you know, National Enquirer papers and things like that, or a lot of celebrities getting in celebrity relationships. There was a lot of that back then. In the 24-hour news cycle, and when there are 19,000 social media apps, every single person out there is a brand. Everybody can promote their brand any chance they want. This is unnecessary. It's kind of like pointless creativity to me.
Well, and it's just novelty gifts. You're not going to have a steady stream of people buying that product for now to the foreseeable future. I mean, they might buy it as a white elephant gift.
Yeah,
that's a pretty limited market.
I get a little frustrated with the business world sometimes. While it can be, certain aspects of it are difficult, there's other aspects that are pretty much ABC. They're very basic. and one of them certainly is something like, you know, hey, maybe, you know, this isn't the best way to make your name for your product, right, for your company.
Novelty packaging may not be the way to go versus quality product.
Yeah. Last year, a cleaning product company called Per Se started selling soap refills in soda cans, but they had to change them when parents said their kids started to think that the soda, they could drink it and stuff.
Yeah,
What are you doing? What are you doing? Like, how ridiculous is that? One of Flo's founders also said that they've heard of people accidentally, using these items or using the wrong thing or whatever. And the idea does seem to work with a lot of these products, though. The whipped cream sunblock folks say that they get around 5 million views on TikTok every week, and Liquid Death valued, they're recently valued at $1.4 billion. So somebody's buying some of this stuff. Now, the TikTok views is misleading.
Well, because that's not purchases.
Yeah.
It's views.
Yeah,
that's a lot different.
I'm not sure what, you know, I feel like they're scraping the barrel trying to give you the other side of this or something.
Honestly, out of all the products that you listed, Liquid Death is really the only one that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that, yes, could be packaged and sold forever.
There's
in the container that they're selling it in, because it's water with a fun name.
And right there, I feel like you have your product sold. Like, that's why you came up with the name you did. Like, I don't feel like doing this other stuff and everything doesn't necessarily, you know, help you sell the product.
Well, no, and it's sold in a recognizable packaging that you normally buy beverages in. It's not like they packaged it in an oil jug.
And this sunblock that looks like a whipped cream can, isn't that just going to confuse bears? Like, doesn't it look like to bears that you're just putting whipped cream on yourself and everything? Like, look, officer,
he added frosting. I couldn't stay away.
What am I supposed to do? I'm a bear. Like, come on. He might as well have, like, glazed himself. Like,
sent out an invitation to lunch.
It was misleading, okay? It was very misleading. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
But for real, how many of us in the middle of the night, not that I'm saying I've ever done this, but I might have, gone to the refrigerator and pulled out a can of whipped cream and just squirted it in your mouth?
Yes.
If I happened across it in the cupboard, it'd be like, oh, yay, surprise whipped cream. No.
This is just waiting for me to do this. This is just waiting for me to at 3 a.m. put a bunch of sunblock in my mouth. Like, which would be a real. I don't even use sunblock. Very confusing for my body. I don't know. I really hope the companies start listening to the people. This is not working necessarily.
And not do things that could potentially cause harm, like children drinking soap out of soda cans. That is just ridiculous.
Nothing is worth that. Nothing.
No.
And not for nothing. If this is what you got to do to be able to sell, you shouldn't be in
get attention to your product. Yeah.
You either shouldn't be in business or you shouldn't be in marketing, because that is not marketing.
Or
that,
maybe both.
Yeah. Maybe a little column A, a little column B on that. We'll take a time out. We'll come back after our news break and have some fun. It's the morning show here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Spooky ska.
Yeah.
It's kind of what we got here.
It's kind of fun.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. Shout out to the specials with Ghost Town here. That's pretty good. Mm. That's pretty good. We got good things coming up for you, everybody. We're going to get into our schedule in a little bit. Local good stories of the day, just good stories in general. But let's go ahead and get into this one, Melissa. They say the best way to indulge in a healthy way is to eat foods that make you want more, but don't actually eat more.
Okay.
So just confuse your gut.
Trick your brain. It's actually a good way to go about it.
That said, some foods come back to bite you if you eat too much. There is a list online of foods that are delicious in small amounts, but not so much in big amounts. And okay. Some of them are very debatable. And we're going to discuss cheesecake. One person says, I have never in my life regretted eating too much cheesecake. But there are other people that are saying that this is one of those foods that's only good in small amounts.
Small doses. Okay.
I think a lot of cake, a lot of pie is like that. You get one slice, you know, two maybe every once in a while, but that probably, you know, does it for you.
And cheesecake especially is super rich.
Yeah, yeah. I love cheesecake, but I don't, even I with the sweet tooth, I've almost got all sweet teeth. I can only eat like one or two of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cereal. Oh, cereal. How I love you. The first bowl of cereal makes you want a second bowl. The second bowl makes you realize you did not want that second bowl. You just wanted the first bowl again. I don't think I've ever, as much cereal as I've eaten, and I have eaten a lot of cereal, people, I don't think I've ever eaten two bowls, like back-to-back, eaten bowls of cereal.
It depends on what the cereal is, though. And the reason I say that is because the really sugary, you know, sweet ones, like, let's, for instance, Fruity Pebbles, because I have done this with Fruity Pebbles. You can eat the two bowls because there's basically not much in their food nutritional value. So you're not actually feeling full at all because they're just empty calories, basically. And, Yeah. Then you get to the end of the second bowl and you're like, wow, my milk is really colorful now. And I feel kind of gross.
I like Fruity Pebbles. Cocoa Pebbles, you get chocolate milk afterwards. But you're so right about this. I don't know if this counts for when you just eat it dry, though, when you're just like eating it out of the box or anything. I'm not sure how that works.
Well, you're not putting it in a bowl, though.
Right. I'm just speaking for me and like maybe three other people. I don't know.
But like regular cereal that you actually, you know, Honey Bunches of Oats or something that's got a good amount of nutrition in it, you probably only eat one bowl.
Yeah. Frosting shows up on this list. Yeah, I like frosting is great on things, but like just eating frosting alone, you're not going to eat a whole frosting container, hopefully.
I mean, I suppose if you really wanted to, that would be a lot of sugar.
Sesame oil shows up on here.
Yes, that is good in small amounts. I can attest to that.
Wasabi making a second appearance on the morning show today.
Well, it can be pretty spicy.
Yeah, yeah. And that one I have a lot of in my diet, so I don't think about that one very often. Mm.
Well, I think most commonly, like as a season, well, you know, the seasoning on those almonds that I like, but also with sushi is probably the most common way we eat it here.
We got a handful of interesting ones on this list next, and all involving candy. Cadbury cream eggs.
Yes, I would agree with that one, if they're the originals, because the cream in the middle is sickeningly sweet.
But yeah.
If you get the caramel ones, you could at least eat three of them before you regret it.
Yeah. I kind of with. I'm with you 100%, every word you said. Next up on the list, candy corn.
Yes, I knew that was going to make an appearance.
I had a feeling. Seth is shouting at his radio.
Yes, he is. Is it followed by circus peanuts?
Yeah, it should be. It's followed by cotton candy, but it should be followed by circus peanuts.
Yes, absolutely. Because that is another one. Like, one is great. And if you make one last a really long time, it's even better. But that's kind of all you need.
Marshmallows. Cotton candy and marshmallows feel very similar to me, and they show up next to each other on the list here.
In some ways, yeah.
Here's a good one, and I hadn't thought of it. I think I agree with this. Honey.
Well, it's not like you just eat honey straight up.
Yeah,
usually
yeah.
You put it on something.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought
or
of it.
Or in something.
Another one, truffles. Or truffle, just truffle in general.
Truffle.
I haven't had a ton of truffle in my life, so I guess I don't know. When I have had it, it's really good.
I've really only had like truffle oil on stuff, so I don't know.
Pancakes. How dare you? What? How dare you? Pancakes are great. You can eat millions of pancakes and never be satisfied. Pancakes are. I think, are a fun one on there. And I don't know. Now, are they saying that just eating one? I don't know. That seems insane, eating just one pancake.
Right. Well, and then there are some places where you can't even finish one. A lot of places that serve pancake as like a breakfast side, the pancake is as big as the plate.
Yeah.
And it's a big plate.
Oh, it's a good pancake right there. That's a good one.
Yeah. My mom's pancakes are the best because they're not, she didn't add any sugar to her pancakes.
Ooh, that would be good, yeah.
So anything you add to the top of it, you know, it doesn't get overly sweet.
Showing up next on the list, do I see butter? Butter at the top of the list. Someone says, a little toast, heaven. But if you slather too much on anything, it goes from delicious to, why did I put on so much butter?
Okay, I guess.
I think that's what, but that's a case by case thing because some people, right. You know, I love the taste of butter, but I put it on sparingly. Mm-hmm. Whereas my sister cakes it on and loves it just as much as I do, I'm sure.
Yeah, to each their own. Yeah. And there are some things that are better with more butter, like hollandaise sauce. You can't do it without all of the butter.
Mm. I back away from number 14 on the list because I journalistically don't have any understanding of mayonnaise.
Is this cookies?
No, mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
I just don't touch mayonnaise. I don't really eat mayonnaise.
Yeah, that's one you can overdo.
Is it? Okay. I could see that. Sure. I could see that.
Because it's going to overpower if you put too much on of whatever it is you're, you know, adding it to.
I feel like I know what mayonnaise is, but Melissa, just between you and I, because I don't want to embarrass myself in front of the listeners or anything, do you know what exactly mayonnaise is?
I'm pretty sure it's just egg yolk and oil.
Follow-up question, Melissa. Why? I don't know. Teach their own.
I like mayo. Yeah. And actually, I usually do Miracle Whip because that's what I grew up on. Mm. But mayo has its place.
Absolutely.
And you can make it with a variety of things. But yes, it is. It's egg and oil.
It's one of those things my father loves. And it just looks at me and shakes his head whenever I don't. I'll have a BLT without mayo out of there or something like that. Yeah, that's a good one. It's teach their own with that one. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see what our list goes to next is Vienna sausages.
Yeah, Vienna sausages? Are those the little ones?
I think so, yeah. Yes, they are, yes.
Yeah, you can easily eat too many of those.
Yeah, as a little kid, would do that from time to time. Whenever you were at an event or at those things where they were walking around with plates of food.
Yeah, like the little mini wieners. That's not Vienna sausages, I haven't really had that, but what are the ones that are... Oh, I can't remember the name of them now, but they're like that, little mini... Hot dogs, basically, bite-sized.
Yeah. Lox show up on the list. Lox.
That's like salmon, isn't it?
I'm going to double-check here, because I'm not sure. A fillet of salmon that has been cured in brine and is offered served on bagels with cream cheese.
Yes.
I thought I knew what that one was. I wasn't 100%. Yeah. I haven't heard or seen those since I was a kid, to be honest. So. Oysters are next on the list.
Well, where's Seth when we need him?
Yeah,
because I think he's the only one of us that has eaten and likes oysters.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever had oysters. Yeah.
I have tried them. I was not impressed.
Hmm.
It seemed kind of overrated to me.
Something about runny foods to me don't seem appetizing. Like I don't know. I feel like in order to like something like that, you have already had to have tried it and know. Okay, I'm going through this because I love the taste. Like, I don't know. It's like when I see people eating lobster, and it feels like they've got to go through all this work for this tiny little bit of meat. Like, you must really love that meat, man.
Yeah.
Eggnog, next on the list.
Yes, eggnog is delicious, but you really only need a little bit, kind of like cheesecake.
I feel like I not only do I agree with that, eggnog, I think, is like a once a year thing for me. Like, I have one, like, sip or one glass, and I'm good.
And usually around Christmas.
Yes. I don't mind it, but not too much more than that.
I don't get it very often because obviously I don't drink regular eggnog, but if I can find it, there I have had a coconut milk eggnog, which is so similar because it has the right consistency. And that's the problem with any of the non-dairy ones. They're not thick enough.
Interesting.
But coconut milk eggnog is got the right viscosity or thickness.
And wrapping up our list, cheese. Cheese making another appearance on the morning show.
What? We're Wisconsinites, and besides me, you can't have too much cheese.
Yeah, yeah. This is not this survey or this was not done in Wisconsin. Apparently,
it was not.
You can go to askreddit.com to find the complete article and the complete list. Askreddit.com. That was a fun one. That was interesting. Mm-hmm.
I would say another add-on would be like tiramisu.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask if you had any honorable mentions. Okay,
that is super rich as well. I think a little bit goes a long way.
I could see that. Definitely. It's good, but yes, I could see that definitely being the case. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Nice, nice. Very good one, Melissa. I did want to get a programming note in real quick, everybody. Due to unexpected technical issues on Monday, we were not able to broadcast our interview with the ladies from the Miss Wisconsin Rapids pageant, so we will broadcast that interview this Friday, October 25th at 4 o'clock, our first segment of Midday Magazine. Oh, we had a great time with Amelia and Ruby and Addison. They were amazing, wonderful individuals. I had a really good time conversating with them. I encourage you to listen for this one on Friday. It's been our pleasure this fall to meet and visit with the contestants and hear a little bit more about them. Wish good luck to all the wonderful young ladies in our area, and we wish all of them the very best on the October 26th pageant coming up this weekend.
All right.
We'll keep mentioning that throughout the week here and everything and reminding everybody about that. Looking forward to everybody hearing that interview. It was a lot of fun. And just, man, great kids. Just great kids. Every one of these contestants. Awesome. We will take a time out, come back, and we'll wrap up the show. Morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour, getting you ready for a matinee on air. Mm-hmm. Be sure to join Jane and Greg every Monday through Friday, 10 to noon.
Yep.
Got a good one right here, Melissa, and it ties right into the spooky season we have. You can go to goodnewsnetwork.org to find this article, goodnewsnetwork.org. Shout out to them and the great reporting they do. A dog groomer turned their poodle into a skeleton for Halloween. And you see a lot of this time of year and everything, and it's a really cute picture. I encourage you to check it out and everything. But the important part of the article, I believe, and this time of year going forward, is the what they use to do this. Gabriel Fuentes went all out for Halloween by giving his standard poodle a makeover, spending hours carving and dyeing the three-year-old's coat.
Okay.
And it really does look like a dog skeleton. It really does.
Oh, cool.
But the dyes Gabriel used are non-toxic and specifically developed for pets.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
The dyes are completely safe. I've painted hundreds of dogs and have never had a case of allergic reaction. Dogs don't understand that they look yellow, red, or blue, or whatever. But when she walks down the street, everybody looking at her, she likes the attention. So, you know, unlike maybe a costume or some of those things where it just kind of like it throws a dog off. Now, understand that, if you don't understand, dogs feel and smell and breathe through everything. So when you cover some of that up, they are not able to sense the world around them as well. Mm-hmm. So while you think it's really cute that your dog is dressed up as a hot dog, the dog is extremely confused and does not understand what's going on. No matter how many times you do this, and I know that a lot of people are saying, well, my dog's different. No, it's not. Every dog is like this. But when it comes to painting them up, it's no different than when my fur brother Sam gets a haircut, that dog struts. That dog struts. He knows he looks good. He feels good. Like animals do get this. Animals do pick up on these things, and not so much because they're looking in the mirror and saying, "Oh yeah, I look good."
They feel lighter.
They feel lighter, and they notice different. How others are approaching, how others are looking at them. Everything about a dog, just talking about dogs here, is based on us. They're constantly looking at us, not only for positivity and all that.
And food and
all these things. And they read our faces better than we do. this is what hundreds of years of evolution have come to and everything, and domestication have come to. It comes down to, is it about you or is it about the dog? Because if it's about the dog, then you're going to do something that's right for the dog. And I think that's part's very important.
Right. And just like you wouldn't use something to dye your own hair that was you know, not safe for human use, you should give that exact same consideration to your dog and be even actually more careful.
Find the complete article at goodnewsnetwork.org, and a big shout out to them.
It is a cute picture.
It is. It's pretty good.
It's an adorable dog.
We encourage you to look at that. It's a good palate cleanser, everybody. Mm-hmm. We got a good one lined up for you today on Midday Magazine. Join us from 4 to 5 in part 1. We spend a half an hour with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Nice.
Promise going to be in with us. Looking forward to that. Got a lot of events going on with the Chamber. It is go time at the Chamber. It is go time here in Rapids. There is a lot of things coming up. We'll be getting into some of that with Promise.
Good.
One of the things coming up is a great vigil on October 24th with our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Jessica and I are going to talk about that. She is the program services manager over at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. She'll be in with us at 4:30 today.
Great. Yes, that'll be at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Very important conversation that we'll be having a little bit later. Cannot encourage you enough to check in on that one. Mm-hmm. Got good things on the radio dial a little bit later today at 7:05, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Be sure to join us for that. The Badgers having an interesting season so far. We're looking forward to bringing you more and more Badger hockey throughout the whole season. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think this team's going to sneak up on some people. They got a nice squad over there. A lot of young players that are already developing a lot faster than I think people realize. Pay attention to that team, man. Cool. It's a good one. I wanted to mention as well that we are looking to cover all of your Halloween events. Mm-hmm. Please be sure to let us know. You hear during our commercial breaks, we've got a commercial playing that is highlighting a lot of these events, and we'll certainly be doing that next week on our morning show as we gear up for Halloween and get closer and closer to it and everything.
Yeah, that's going to be here before we know it.
And as a side note, some of us are going to dress up for Halloween next Thursday.
Woohoo!
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a fun morning show that Thursday, everybody.
Yes, we are.
Our great friends over at the ODC have their, our great friends over at the Moravian Church have their winter farmers market kicking off this Saturday.
Oh, wow. That's already here.
Starts this Saturday from 9 to 1, except the weekends after holidays. It'll be taking place at the Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Mm-hmm. One of the definitions of buying local and supporting our vendors out there, our ag industry, our craft industry, so many of our great people at the Winter Farmers Market. Meet them there, 9 to 1, starting this Saturday.
Get locally made good foods and items, too. It's not just food.
Yeah. Be sure to check that out, everybody. I want to send a special shout out to Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools in their junior theater. They are presenting The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's coming up this Friday, everybody.
Wow.
You can support Rams and also have a really good time. Tickets can be purchased at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce or at the WRPS Central Office, as well as 1 hour before the performance.
And that'll be at the PAC, right?
Yeah.
Performing Arts Center.
Nice. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And I don't know if people saw this story or not or anything, but as long as we're talking theater, Lincoln High School was recognized nationally recently. Lincoln High School's theater program was nominated as Premier Community for Theater Education.
Awesome.
And this is a national award, everybody. This is throughout the whole country that our school, our local school was nominated.
That's really cool.
They've got a great article on this one. Encourage you to check that out. And there's a couple of stories out there that people are covering of this one. But let's promote this a little bit more. I don't know to people out there, constituents, lawmakers, everybody, the importance of the arts.
Yes.
And how Wisconsin finished dead last in the union in the arts, where you see where we have what happens when we actually put some effort into arts. You get nationally nominated, or you support kids and give them some confidence. There's a million reasons to be doing this. I encourage you to do so.
One of the things that I heard over and over from the kids that I interviewed for Community Stories Junior, which will be coming soon, and you'll hear them tell their story. One of the biggest resounding things that I hear from them is theater is so welcoming. Everybody is so welcoming. You just feel accepted here, which is such a cool thing.
Yeah, encourage you to support the arts, everybody. We've got some other great art coming to town here and all that. Going on today over at McMillan Library, Teens Making with Miss Alicia, Restin' Pour in Glass Jars. That's going on from 5 to 7 in their studio over there. And the celebrating author, Jory John. that is happening from 6 to 7 in their all-purpose room today. Jory John has some great books with awesome characters at this program. They'll explore the world of Jory John and the fun activities related to the books.
Cool.
Check that out, everybody.
There's always something fun going on at the library.
Yeah. Find out more at MacmillanLibrary.org, MacmillanLibrary.org, and remind everybody that tomorrow morning from 7:30 to 9:30, American Heroes Cafe.
Woo-hoo.
All veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome tomorrow morning from 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church. This event kicks off a little before we're on the air with you, so I wanted to remind everybody about it today. We will be joined by our good friend Tom next month with our monthly veterans update, but just a quick reminder that, again, American Heroes Cafe going on tomorrow from 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church. A big thank you to everybody behind that event.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
I wanted to mention a couple of good stories, Melissa. Where did my computer come on?
where did they go?
A guy in Illinois tried to buy a lottery ticket from a vending machine at his grocery store, but the machine malfunctioned and wouldn't give him the one he wanted. It would only let him get one kind of ticket, so he bought that instead and ended up matching all six numbers and winning $9.2 million.
Wow. Well, that was a lucky accident mistake.
A 17-year-old kid in Hawaii lost his paddle while kayaking near Honolulu last Wednesday and drifted out to sea. But an off-duty lifeguard who happened to know his family went searching and eventually rescued him. He searched in a zigzag pattern for 100 miles.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
A Coast Guard helicopter eventually spotted the kid at 4 in the morning, and the lifeguard was the closest to him, so he pulled him off to off to shore. The kid was out there for 12 hours and said it was nice to see a familiar face pick him up.
I bet.
That's a great story. Great story.
Oh, glad it all worked out.
And we encourage you to be the good story out there, everybody. Be good to each other and share your good stories with us. Great show today, Melissa.
Yeah, you too, James.
It's a lot of fun. And be good to each other out there, everybody. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.